It has definitely been a market with bated breath, waiting to see what's happening in Beijing. Listening to the American Ag Network, and good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. Sean Hackett joins us today with Hackett Financial Advisors, and let's talk about this meeting because we saw it happen in the overnight trade and then the continued plummet in this soybean complex today.
Yeah, you know, it's a two-day meeting, and Treasury Secretary Bessent made the comment that China is pretty much, their quantities are set in stone, they're done, we're not really going to change them much. That we're going to keep them where they're at. And somehow the market had been bidding up the soybean market, apparently thinking that those numbers were going to get larger. And when he said they're not, it's kind of sent short-term speculators selling into the soybean market, and it seemed to infect grains, you know, corn and soybeans as well. And even we didn't get any news on energy as well. And I don't know. It just seemed to me that the market's feeling is that Bessent was telling everyone that they're not going to expand purchases to even any other ag markets. I'm not saying that's the right take, by the way, Susan. I don't actually think that's the right take. But when you have a bunch of short-term speculators that are levered up and they get vertigo and they start selling because they didn't get what they wanted to hear, it starts creating its own narrative. And we'll find out tomorrow after the second round of talks whether or not that narrative is true and whether or not they actually start purchasing or indicate they're going to purchase things like corn or soybeans or pork, which I think they're going to do. And this could be one heck of a rope-a-dope where we sell off today and then we put a bunch of it back on tomorrow. Wouldn't surprise me if that's what happens tomorrow when the communique comes out. I think it's going to be around midday on how these meetings finished up.
Well, it definitely is a name game at this point. And yesterday when they announced that all these CEOs, Sean, were going with them, there was a lot in ag that thought, oh, here we go. We're in the back seat now of these negotiation and trade talks.
I think a lot of people believe that with that kind of an entourage coming, that we would hear some big, big things and announcements. And we just have not gotten that today. Yet I don't think we were supposed to get that today, meaning this was I think mostly what we talked about today was non-trade oriented issues between the two countries. I think the next round, tomorrow's round, is where the trade side of the equations was really going to be discussed in greater detail. And I think the market is misdiagnosing what was realistically, what should have realistically been expected today. And I don't think all those CEOs went out there without expecting that they were going to walk away with something more tangible in hand that we would find out more about tomorrow. So I think tomorrow is really the big day, even though the market is selling off today. I think tomorrow is really the big day to make final conclusions. I would be very, very careful about overreading today's meetings and today's reaction in markets.
On the flip side of that, from a grain perspective, we need rain. We know that drought has become a bigger and bigger issue, but they say it's dry. We're getting this crop in the ground a lot faster.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, dry weather is fine during planting season, so long as you get, you know, a little bit of rain to get it in, because you can plant it super, super fast, but you had better get rain to follow up once that is in the ground. And if you do, then what you have is an early planted crop that comes out of the ground early and is set up for, you know, to be a big one. And so that's why I think the market is not going to react too strongly to a dry spring, as well as they shouldn't. I mean, we have many, many examples of dry springs turning out okay for the crop. Obviously something to monitor and really look at as we get to mid-June, should those trends continue like they did in 2012 when we had a dry spring that carried over, you know, into June and July, but it's way too early. And with an El Nino, you know, coming on strong, it would argue that we should get some follow-on rains once planting is done, at least to keep the crop going. That would be my expectation. I think the market is thinking that as well.
And Louise, look at the livestock side. What crazy times we're in right now, Sean, where we see $7 higher cash this week in the north, 3 to 5 higher in the south. This just continues to set crazy limits.
I mean, the cattle market has been for quite a while, Susan, in uncharted territory in terms of the usual rules of engagement. We just have this constant degradation of animals. We have not been able to rebuild. We have not been willing to reopen the Mexican border. We are bringing beef in from outside, but it's still of the lower quality variety, not the mid-higher quality variety where we need it more. And it just, I don't see where things are going to change on that front unless we really start bringing some animals in from Mexico. And they keep talking about it. There's rumors about it, but we haven't seen it. And, it's hard to put your finger on what's going to turn the fundamentals around other than either demand's got to get really, really bad due to recession, or we just need something to change the dynamics of imports, either bringing higher quality beef in or bringing those animals in to really change the vernacular here. And at this point, we're not seeing it, and we're heading into grilling season. So that's kind of your setup right now. So
what's the key that you want to watch moving forward, either grains or livestock at this point as we wrap up the week?
The two things, what actually happens tomorrow? What is actually agreed to? What does that actually mean? And are we going to get an El Nino weather pattern to trigger here in June and develop that cooler weather pattern that has been noted in the past to produce big U.S. crops for corn and soybeans? To me, those are the two key factors that will drive short-term price discovery and intermediate-term price discovery. Our best guess is China is going to expand the trade deal and that we are going to see better weather, and we're going to have somewhat of a stalemate between the two, where weather eventually brings some prices weaker into late summer before we get into the South America growing season. And we will start worrying about Brazilian drought, which we think could be at a high level this year.
All right. Sean Hackett joining us today with Hackett Financial Advisors. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Thursday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.